we mutter, we sputter, we fume, and we spurt. We mumble and grumble. Our feelings get hurt. We can't understand things. Our vision grows dim. When all that we need is a moment with Him. Can somebody say amen? Holy Father God, we pray together this morning. Many of us, many who are participating this morning, I would imagine, do not feel like praying. Most of us, if the truth be known, do not feel like praying first thing in the morning or at any time. This is why you have commanded us to pray without ceasing all of the time throughout your holy word. And we thank you for the privilege of prayer. And we thank you for revealing to so many of us that much of the Christian life is not only about feelings and emotions, in many cases on certain things, not about that at all. It's about it is about our will. We're saved. We're filled with your Holy Spirit. You will help us, but we must choose to do certain things. Prayer is one of those things, and then beautiful things happen once we start praying. We begin to feel your presence. We begin to feel your power. We begin to see things moving and shaking, but not until then. And so, Holy Father God, help us all to remember that. It takes something to get up early in the morning. It takes something to pray with family members that oftentimes you have issues with. And so, Lord, help us to choose to do the right thing, whether we feel like doing the right thing or not. And only then will we move forward in our Christian walk, and only then will you help us to do the things we need to do. And we do know that you will, even by the power of your Holy Spirit, put that fire in our belly to move and to pray and to do certain things. However, we have to, with our will, make that first step. And it is amazing what you do after that. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor for that. And Lord God in heaven, we individually confess our sins, our failures, and our faults. And for Jesus Christ's sake, as Christians, please forgive us of our sins and help us to truly repent of our sins, to turn away from our evil ways. If there's someone among us in podcast world, in Periscope world, or Facebook Live world, or whatever, who has committed a grievous sin, Lord, help them to repent of it. Help them to not only confess it, but to repent of it. And don't go back and do it again tonight, but to allow themselves to be cleansed by you through the precious blood of Christ and to make it to the house of God first thing on Sunday morning, and confess their sins and solidify, confirm their repentance before you. And Lord, we pray that you would truly lead us, guide us, and direct us throughout this day, order our steps, and direct our ways. And Lord God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts from each Christian life under the sound of my voice, each Christian family, and each Christian church that stands for you. And Lord, we pray that you would surround us with your protection, a band of your holy angels, a wall of your holy fire. Place, Lord, upon us the whole armor of God today. Help us to be prayerful, sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful, and help us to realize that this is not a game. We will not get a do-over for this day, and I pray that you'll help us to appreciate this day, and it is a day indeed that we have never seen before, and we shall never see again, So help us to use it wisely for your glory, your praise and honor, and not for foolishness. Help us to relax. Help us to take it easy. Help us to have fun. But Lord, help us to understand that we are in spiritual warfare. And Lord, I do pray that you would heal every Christian marriage based upon obedience to your holy word. I pray that you would heal every Christian family, and particularly those families on the verge of breaking up. We pray, Lord, for the healing and the revival of every church. And Lord, we pray for over 3 million souls to be saved through this ministry. And by your grace, we are on our way. We pray for over 3 million Christians to get back to their first love, that is you, and to experience genuine revival. We pray for over $3 million to come into the ministry work so that we can continue to spread the gospel to every nook and cranny of the world. We thank you for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection and provision blessings for us down through the years, and we pray that you'll continue to bless our family and all other Christian families who are willing to trust you, love you back, fear you, obey you, and be faithful to you. And Lord, fill them with your Holy Spirit to do that. And Holy Father God, we pray that you'd rebuke and bind the satanic, demonic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage and foolishness, Lord, from this family and from all other Christian families and churches. And we pray that you'll hold the demonic Judas spirit at bay, that demonic spirit that gets into the church and tries to hinder your work. It is the work of Satan. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ against it. We plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ against it. And it does not matter to us who has this wicked spirit, family, friend, or foe. And so we know that you had to deal with it in heaven. Holy Father God and Lord Jesus, you had to deal with it here on earth. And unfortunately, we have people like that in the world today who have no other desire in the world but to try to hinder the gospel from going forward. And we pray that you'll hold them at bay, hold Sanballat and Tobias at bay as well, and Demas as well. And so, Holy Father God, we pray and we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, love, and grace, and favor upon our lives down through the years. And we pray that you would continue to bless us with that. We cast all care upon you, for Lord, we know that you care for us. Fill us all who are saved and who have confessed our sins and who have repented of our sins with your peace that passeth all understanding, your joy unspeakable, your holy serenity and tranquility of mind and heart. We pray, Lord, for the people who are still hurting from Harvey, Irma, and Maria, that you would comfort them as only you can. And we pray that through it all, Christians would repent. For I believe that we are responsible for a lot of the negative things that's happening in this country today. Judgment must first begin at the house of God. We have been told over 3,000 churches have been decimated in the Caribbean. And we pray that, and in not only there, but in Florida and in the Houston area as well. And we pray that you would speak to the hearts of your children. Help us to confess our sins and to repent and to turn from our wicked ways. And Lord, then we pray that you would help us to help others, Lord, who don't even know you, to come to know your Savior before it is eternally too late. Before it is eternally too late. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in reading our devotional Bible passage as we have been reading straight through the book of Psalms. And today we're starting at Psalm 70. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Have you ever been there when you wanted God to in a hurry come and help you and deliver you. You did not have time to do the great formal prayer you normally do, talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of our distant past, and so forth. You know, you said, Lord, I need some help right now. My house is flooding. Lord, deliver me. Amen, somebody. Christian brother and sister who are sort of celebrities. Lady was getting ready to go and do some entertainment thing, and she said she heard the loudest knock on her door that she ever heard in her life. When you hear that knock, you're in trouble. The authorities are coming. They don't play when they knock. They almost knock your house, your door down. And she said she heard the loudest knock in her life. And the husband was gone, and they were coming to repossess the house. They had an hour to get out. That's it. I've never heard of anything like that, but they had an hour to get out. And they both said there was some praying going on. There was some praying. They needed to be delivered then. Have you ever been there? Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt. There's nothing wrong with you praying something like that. How many of you have ever prayed that God would thwart the plans of an enemy? We're not talking about legitimate things, whereas you didn't pay your bill, or the police wanted to question you about something. We're not talking about legitimate stuff. I'm talking about things that you know the devil. Have you ever been there? There's nothing wrong with you praying that God would stop them, light. There's nothing wrong with you praying that God would thwart their plans, stop their plans. Verse 3, let them be turned back for a reward of their shame, that say, aha, aha. You know, there's some people like that in the world, that all they do is lean back and aha, aha, I knew it. I knew she wasn't about anything. Ha, ha, aha, aha, aha. I knew he wasn't about nothing. Look at him. Now there's a scandal. Aha. They don't do anything. They don't know the Lord. But they love to see Christians fail. God-fearers fail, mess up. Aha, aha. They belong to the aha group. You can find them on aha at Facebook. Aha. Aha. You don't want to be a part of that group, and you don't want to hear from that group. Verse 4, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Those of us who love being saved by the grace of God, let us continue to say, let the Lord be magnified. Give God the glory. Give God the praise. Can somebody say amen? But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. Make no tarrying. Please join me in praying for the estates, praying for governmental officials, and all people in authority, and all people. We do this based upon what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks, all forms of prayer, be made for all men. We need to be praying for the people in Puerto Rico. We need to be praying for the people in South Texas and Southern Louisiana. We need to be praying for the folks in Florida because, see, we told you CNN cameras are going to leave. The weatherman who, for some reason, has the mind to stand in the hurricane while he's reporting the hurricane and telling everybody how dangerous it is and how important it is for them to evacuate it, but they have, for some reason, I guess they get extra pay to stand in a 140-mile wind, and they're all gone. But do you know people are still digging out? People are still in a bad way in all of these areas. And in the Caribbean, it's worse. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for President Donald Trump and his family and his administration. We pray for salvation, spiritual, family, life, protection, provision, blessings, leadership, blessings upon him and his family and his staff. As we prayed for President Obama, and we still pray for them, as well as we prayed for President Bush and for President Clinton and for the first President Bush, President Reagan, and President Carter. And they still have a role to play to help this president, and we pray that they would, that they would not be partisan. And we pray these same blessings upon them and their family and their staff that they have now. As you know, Lord, some say that President Carter was the worst president, but there's no doubt that he has been the best past president ever. He's done a lot to help thousands of folk all around the world and even in America. And so, Lord, we thank you for these past presidents. We don't have to hate one another just because we're different and believe differently. So help us in this country to get back to our foundation, to get back to our roots. We pray for each member of the White House staff. We pray for all leaders of federal agencies, particularly FEMA. And to me, they have done a bang-up job. And Holy Father God, we pray for all members of Congress, all governors, mayors, particularly the mayor of the capital city of Puerto Rico. We don't know what's going on there with her. But you know, we pray for the police chiefs and sheriffs, all military leaders, the leaders of all nations around the world. And Holy Father God, we pray for church leadership. We pray that you would save the church leadership that is religious but lost. Revive those of us who are truly saved and help us to get back to our first love. That is true New Testament revival. Getting back, going back, being taken back by your grace to our first love. When we first got saved, when everything we did was for your glory, praise, and honor, we had pure, innocent hearts. And Lord, we didn't mind carrying a big old Bible with us. We didn't mind having tracts with us. And when we woke up in the morning, we woke up to witness for you. We didn't let a soul get by us. And we didn't care who they were. Lord, help us to get back to our first love. And Holy Father God, we pray for current events. You know all about them better than we do. Please meet the need and comfort those who need comforting. Help those who need helping. Lord, going back to our passage this morning, there are some people who are in desperate need of help. And they need help with the quickness. And we pray for provision, protection, recovery, and salvation for the folks in Puerto Rico and all of the islands that have been devastated by hurricanes Irma and Maria, as well as the folks who have been devastated by Harvey. We also pray for the media. Save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, and help them to simply report the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, and not to make up news and not to make up stories and to get out of the story themselves. And Holy Father God, we pray for some of the people on our hundreds and hundreds plus prayer list. We pray for a few here today in this devotional, and help us to pray for the others throughout this day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in our around-the-clock prayer ministry. We pray for Violet. Please keep their private school open and help her to be able to pay all of the debts. Save all of the Hindu students. We pray for Marie. Please provide her and her family with a warm, dry, and secure house to live in a safe place. Heal them of all ailments. We pray for Jumba. Bless his ministry. We pray for Eric. Please show him the meanings of the visions he is having according to your word. We pray for Sheikha. Please provide him and his church with all the Bibles they need for new converts. We pray for Maricel. Bless her with a child according to your perfect time and will. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for those who have been saved through this ministry, who have gotten saved through this ministry. We pray for Hines, we pray for Batingo, we pray for Edna, and we pray for the folks who got saved this past week. We pray also for those who have recommitted their lives to you. Already saved, but got backslidden and now have come back. Only you can do that. Only you can save, and only you can draw back a saint who has lost his or her way. And we thank you for that. And we pray for Josephine. We pray for Mabina, and we pray for Stephen. Help these to grow in the faith and to stand strong in the faith and to be the Christians you want them to be. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you'd bless their lives and ours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional reading for today is titled, We Rejoice in the Lord, Part 1, by Dr. Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Deuteronomy 33:29. Says, happy art thou, O Israel. Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? This is why I say America, not Rome. America, not the Roman Empire. America is the most blessed country in the history of the world, besides Israel, because Israel comes first to the Jew first and then to the Greek. And that includes all Gentiles. See, I don't like that. The Jews are causing problems. No, I thank God for the Jews, and so should you. We wouldn't even have a Bible if it were not for the Jews. Thank God for the Jews. Thank God for Israel. Be that as it may, Spurgeon says, he who says that Christianity makes men miserable is himself an utter stranger to it. Can somebody say amen right there? You don't know Christ. I said this before and I'll say it again. The greatest privilege of my life has been to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if I went to hell, I would not trade my Christian life for anything in the world. I'm not going to hell by the grace of God because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for me. But even if I had to go to hell, I would not trade the life I have lived under Christ. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. Anything. I would not say, shucks, man, I could have had two or three wives. Shucks, man, I could have done this or that. I could have pursued money throughout my life. Shucks. I've never had those thoughts since I have been saved by Christ. My only regret is that, if you will, my only regret is that I didn't get saved sooner. And that's a fact. You can't make it what I just said. I couldn't even think of making it what I just said. My only regret in life is that I didn't meet Jesus sooner. In a very real sense. Oh yes, I was in church. My dad was a preacher. My mother was a preacher. And we went to church, man, all day long. I was disgusted with that. But nobody introduced me to Jesus until December the 19th, 1979. Nobody showed me from the Bible how to be saved. Even though I was secretly praying behind my rebelliousness. And these are the words I prayed as a little boy and as a young teenager. Lord, please show me the light. I don't know why I prayed that. But I knew what my parents had was not it. And to this day, I don't believe I believe my dad got saved before I got saved by listening to Billy Graham. But I don't believe the rest of my family got saved until I got saved. And I began to reveal to them that salvation is found very clearly in the Word of God. It's not about church membership. It's not about jumping and shouting and running around the church and speaking in an unknown tongue. It's about simply putting our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and meeting Him for ourselves, and He'll do the rest. So Spurgeon is right, as always. It were strange indeed if it made us, back to what he said, wretched. For see to what a position it exalts us. It makes us sons and, if you will, daughters of God. Suppose you that God will give all the happiness to his enemies and reserve all the mourning for his own family. Shall his foes have mirth and joy? And shall his home-born children inherit sorrow and wretchedness? Shall the sinner who has no part in Christ call himself rich in happiness? And shall we go mourning as if we were penniless beggars? No, we will rejoice in the Lord always and glory in our inheritance, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Can somebody say amen right there? And this is not about material things and riches and money, because contrary to what some folks think, you can be your happiest and have ultimate joy and peace in your life and not have a penny to your name. And if your faith is not like that, you don't have the faith that you should have in Christ. You might not be born again. Our joy does not depend on our bank account. Our peace does not depend upon whether or not we're living in a big fine house on Pork Chop Hill. Our happiness does not depend upon whether things, the happenings, are going our way. truly born-again Christians are happy anyhow. Truly born-again Christians have peace anyhow. Truly born-again Christians have joy regardless of the situation. Can somebody say amen? I know that to be a fact. Well, beloved, as we close, as you know, my calling is as an evangelist. I don't call myself an evangelist because people have messed up that term so badly that it's just not, I'm not inclined to even do that. And by the way, you don't need a title. God knows who you are. And I had a thought the other day, some folks who are so big on a title and what they put in front of their name or what they put behind their name, some folk are going to go to heaven and Peter is going to be at the gate and Peter is going to say, okay, what's your name? Dr. Reverend Apostle Prophet Evangelist Archbishop Jojo Smith. And Peter said, oh, wow, okay. And then the person going to interrupt Peter and say, hold on, I'm not finished. D.D. B.A.M.A. And so forth. And Peter's going to say, well, is your name Jojo Smith? Yes. Well, come on in, because I don't have all that stuff on the list. You're going to have to drop all of that. Okay, so that's not important. Anyway, I had that thought just yesterday. Some people are going to have to drop their title so they can be recognized at the pearly white gates. Anyway, folks, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, Jesus Christ has a word for you. The most powerful word ever spoken. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, he was speaking of himself, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Just acknowledge that you are a sinner, that you have sinned against God. You have broken his commandments. We all have. For the Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody has. And the wages of sin is death. We die physically because of our sins. Yes, your beautiful body, the beautiful image you looked at in the mirror this morning, all of the wonderful things God put in your body, one day will shut down. And it will shut down for one thing, because of sin. Sin destroys us. And our body goes to the grave. And our soul goes to hell if we have never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, including your sins, every last bit of it, all of the nastiness, all of the robbery, all of the rape, everything, all of the evil you've done. If you would confess your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to be baptized to be saved. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand to be saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to be saved. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you trust in Christ as Savior, eventually you'll do those things. The Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou, you, shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you, shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is as simple as that. Sad to say, many churches cause confusion by not making the gospel plain as God has made it. You say, is that easy? Well, the question is, why would God make it hard for ignorant, disobedient, foolish acting people? God had to make it easy for us. God would not make it difficult because he loves us. And all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask him to save you in a very simple way. I'll be glad, since you have not prayed this prayer before, the sinner's prayer, to lead you in this prayer. Someone led me, because I had never prayed it before in my life. Follow me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only somebody who can save you. I can't save you. The Pope can't save you. I don't care if he touches your head and does this number. It means nothing as far as your salvation is concerned. Taking communion can't save you. If you're not saved, you should not even take communion. The pastor can't save you. I don't care how hard they slap you and knock you on the floor. They have no power to save you. Only Jesus Christ has the power, my friend, to save you. Religion can't save you. Church can't save you. Only Christ. Water can't save you. Only Jesus. So just believe on him and trust in him and cling to him for your salvation. And let him do the rest in your life. Follow me in prayer. Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I realize and I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and that I've done wrong and evil in my life. I've broken your commandments. I have lied before. I'm living a lie right now. I have lusted after beautiful women or handsome men. I have stolen things, even if it's a pen from the job or somebody's food in the refrigerator on the job. Lord, you have seen everything I've done. For Jesus Christ's sake, have mercy and grace upon me and forgive me of my sins. As I believe with all of my heart now in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took away all of my sins, Emmanuel, God with us, your Holy Son. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Now, Lord, I admit I don't understand how all of this works. I'm just doing the best I can based upon your holy word. My faith is in you. Lord Jesus, save my soul. Change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to feel the sorrow and the pain of my sins. I apologize to you for my sins. And help me, Lord, to turn from my old life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me, and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from sin and hell, and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. And by the way, write this down. We should make that into a booklet, a book. Expand it and make it and explain more what people need to do. So get a copy of that pamphlet, read it, and do what it says, and you'll be well on your way in your newfound faith in Christ. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.